turn again to the book of Judges, chapter 16. And we might read from verse 21. Verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Howbeit, despite all, howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. Once saved, always saved. This took place during the time of the judges. After the death of Joshua and the elders who were with him, the Israelites departed from the Lord. You would think that they would never depart. After all they had seen and all they had experienced, but they began to depart from him, going after false gods, becoming immoral, and putting his precepts under their feet, including the Sabbath day. And every time they went down like that, some among them would call upon the Lord to help them, because the surrounding nations would be given permission by God to come in and take over and oppress them. And every time that happened, the Lord listened to them and raised up a judge from various classes of society, God being no respecter of persons. And that happened time and time again. They were restored. They usually 40 years, that seems to be a common number. And then they went down again, then they cried again, and he gave them a judge again. And that carried on until the time of the kings. And it was the same during the time of the kings. The same. And we as a nation were exalted, Scotland was exalted, and Scotland has now gone right down. We pray that the Lord would restore us once more, if that be his holy will. Among these judges then was Samson. His name just means is sunny or bright. That may have been his disposition. And he was a judge for 20 years. And we should like, as the Lord would enable us, to speak of Samson the Nazarite. And Samson, in his sinfulness and backsliding, and Samson serving the enemy, and Samson's and his death. Samson as a Nazarite, as sinning and backsliding, as serving the enemy, and as dying. Samson was a Nazarite from the womb. The Lord Jesus, as the angel of the covenant, met his mother, and also his father Manoah. and instructed them regarding the child who was to be born, that he would be a Nazarite from the womb, dedicated to God from the womb. And the mother was not to drink wine or to eat grapes, not to touch anything that had to do with the vine. That's how Samuel was as well. He was dedicated to the Lord from the womb. And we believe that means that the work of grace also worked in his soul from the womb. There's a difficulty for some of God's people when they are brought alive spiritually as children. And the difficulty is this. You might get somebody who speaks to the question. He was brought alive as a small boy, a child. And it's not so easy for such to speak of 2 days in their experience, a time when they were immersed in the world, and a time when they were taken out of that, when they went from darkness into God's marvelous light. It's not so easy. And we have known of such coming to a question meeting and saying, this is the day when our backs will be against the wall. They couldn't speak of these things. And we have known one man who used to come to question meetings like that, and he would say, I cannot speak of a time, I cannot speak of a means, I cannot speak of a place where the Lord dealt with me. I cannot speak of any of these things. All I can say is that the marks I find upon God's people in Scripture are the marks which I believe are upon myself. And at the end of the day, that is what matters, that the marks that are upon God's people are upon ourselves. Samson grew up then as a Nazarite. There are many puzzles in his life. His life is full of puzzles. Hebrews 11, it tells us of how faith operated in his life. He was a man of faith. But for Hebrews 11, we might begin to wonder, but it's put beyond all doubt. He was a Nazarite. He was a man of faith. He never seemed to fear men or to fear armies. There's no sign of that given in his experience. He was raised up by God. Scripture tells us, raised up by him to war against the Philistines. He was permitted to enter into sin, because God was going to use him as an instrument against the Philistines. And these things are a great mystery. We tend to think of Samson as a very muscular man with a gigantic frame. But the Word of God says nothing about that. There's nothing in the Word of God to indicate that Samson physically was anything different from any other person. Nothing. You might see it in picture books, drawings and paintings of Samson as a mighty muscular man. That is only taking away from the glory of the Lord. It was the Holy Spirit who came upon Samson, who gave him his physical strength. It was of the Lord, not of nature. A man would take it away from the Lord and give it to nature. That's how man works. The Lord Jesus himself seemed to be like other men as well. There's nothing in Scripture to indicate that Christ stood out in any way physically for beauty or anything else. A root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. But you see paintings made of Christ, and they try to make him an attractive and beautiful man, as if to indicate that there was an outer beauty that would draw people and make them attractive. But the Word of God says to the contrary. It is the inner beauty, the spiritual beauty, that draws to Christ, not an outer beauty. He had no beauty that we should desire him in that way. And Samson had strength that was given him by the Holy Spirit. Samson, too, was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know there are people who say, well, no, you mustn't speak of Samson as being a type of Christ because of his sinfulness. Well, you could apply that to David as well. He's a type of Christ, but he had his own sins, and every person who's made a type is a sinner. There are things in the life of Samson that seem to point to Christ, and we believe that Scripture indicates that. The Holy Spirit, in all fullness, beyond measure, without measure, came upon Christ. Christ was the true Samson, the true sunny or bright person who rejoiced in the Lord as no other person ever rejoiced in the Lord. And Christ was the one who did the greatest things by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it was a spiritual thing. Samson, in thinking of him as a type, Samson took the gates of Gaza away. He tore the posts of that gate out of the wall. Now, the gate of a city like Gaza would be an imposing thing and a powerful thing, perhaps even difficult for one man to close. But Samson took the gates out of the wall and carried the posts and the bar and the gates on his shoulder for over 20 miles to Hebron, then climbed a hill and left it all there as a monument to the fearful strength that was used. But the Lord Jesus came into the world. Yes. And he took hold of the guilt of his own people under the law, by covenant, bearing their guilt. And he bore it away into the distance, out of sight, like the scapegoat. Yes, he took their guilt away. Samson again met the lion and tore that lion apart as if it were a kid. the Lord Jesus has not only made other things for us, but also sanctification. He's made our sanctification. The old nature that is within us, with which we grapple, which is too powerful for us, which overcomes us and imprisons us, the Lord Jesus will take that nature, that lion, and tear it like a kid. He will destroy it. We depend upon Him for everything, to take away our guilt, to destroy the old nature. Samson took up the jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 with it. The Lord Jesus took up the nature of sinful man. Yes, and for sin, and destroyed sin. Yes, it seems impossible for a man to take up a mere jawbone of an ass, an unclean animal, and to use it like that. It seemed more impossible for the Lord Jesus to take of the nature of sinful man, to sanctify it, and to use it as the instrument by which He destroyed the enemies of His people. In these ways you see Samson as a type of the Lord Jesus. And then we come to the sinfulness and backsliding of Samson. He was a loner. He never worked with other people. He was a great loner. And Christ was the greatest loner of all. Yes, He trod the winepress alone. He does that in salvation. Who is this that cometh from Eden with dyed garments from Bosra? Yes, in the greatness of His strength, mighty to save. He trod the winepress alone in salvation, and also in destroying the enemies of the church, Edom, Bosra, alone. Of the people, there was none with me. I looked on my right hand and viewed, but none to know me were. That was the great loner. Samson was a loner. That doesn't mean to say that he didn't seek company. And here is the great mystery, that he sought the company of the Philistines. He sought the company of idolaters. He sought the company of those who worshipped idols. Why should he do that? Well, Scripture tells us that it was of the Lord. God had a purpose in all these things. And Samson desired to marry a Philistine. It made no sense to his parents to marry an idolater, an enemy of the cause of the Lord. But then you see, Samson is sinning in these matters. He sinned greatly through the eye, the lust of the eye. We read of that, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. The lust of the eye was so strong. You say, but Samson was strong. Yes, but Samson was weak. He was weak. And that's what the Word of God is out to teach us. That it is the Holy Spirit within the soul that matters. Not the Holy Spirit giving us physical strength. Not the Holy Spirit giving us gifts which are outward, but rather the Holy Spirit taking over our hearts and thoughts. We desire to be strong there, and that's where we feel so weak. And he was weak. The lust of the eye. It's not any coincidence when the Apostle Paul begins to speak of the works of the flesh and God sparing us. We will read about that on the Sabbath. And he says that they are manifest. Manifest. Adultery, he says. Fornication. Uncleanness. Licentiousness. You see where he begins. He doesn't begin with idolatry. He doesn't begin with avarice. He doesn't begin with hatred. He begins with adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness. And when you read Paul's warnings elsewhere, you see that he tends to stress things in that order. But the time would come when the Lord would take away the eyes of Samson. Our friends, we are weak creatures. He desired to marry the Philistine. He married her and he gave out a riddle. We don't wish to go into that. But the wife he married, he kept at him until he told her the answer to the riddle that he gave at his marriage. And she gave that to the enemy. And he said that they had ploughed with his heifer. That is, they had used his wife to obtain the answer to the riddle. And you will think, well, once bidden, twice shy. Oh, if only we could say that regarding our sins. Once bidden, twice shy. But no, we go back into the same sins again and again and again. The Lord has to smite us and teach us. We are not so very teachable. The Lord has to make us teachable. We are fools, we are brutes. Unless the Lord will keep us. And you can see that on every side. Look on every side and you will see these things. And bring down the cause of the Lord. Samson's life would not attract people, would not draw people to God. But we desire conduct that would draw people to God. When we look at ourselves, we cannot see anything in us that would cause people to be drawn to the Lord by us. We can only sigh and groan when we think of what we are and how we are, how we see ourselves. How can anybody be drawn to the Lord? As Ruth was drawn to the Lord through Naomi, how could that be in my experience? Well, the Lord does that. But Samson was far from that. And you would think, after that disastrous marriage, when his wife and father-in-law were burned to death by the Philistines, you think that then he would be entirely different. But the Lord was going to use him against the Philistines. And he was going to allow him to become involved. And here we read of him coming to Sorek and meeting with Delilah. Sorek just means a vineyard, a place of vineyards. What had he to do with vineyards? The very kind of place he should shun. Dedicated to the Lord, not to go near the vine. His hair was never to be cut. And you would know the Nazarite. When you saw him walking the street, you would know him by his hair. Never cut. Grew long. And you should know the Nazarite too, when he sits among people to eat and drink. Because he wouldn't touch wine, and he wouldn't eat grapes. He would be different on the street and different in the home. Bread unknown of all men. So what was he doing in Sorek among the vines, the vineyards, and with Delilah? Hadn't he learned enough? And that's what we have here. He's with Delilah. And now we see his sinfulness, his backsliding. And we read here about him, that the lords of the Philistines came to her to bribe her, to give her a lot of money if she would persuade Samson to tell her where his great strength lay. And she was willing to take the bribe. And she was willing to deceive Samson. She was willing to betray him, willing to sell him. But you see, that's how it is. He's like the animal being led to the slaughter. And Solomon speaks of these things, about the fool, what he does. Samson, powerful. Samson weak. Samson a great fool. Backsliding and sinning against an all-holy God. So she begins to try to find out wherein his great strength lies. And he says, if they tie me with 7 green withes, 7 ropes made of fiber, new ropes made of fiber, green fiber, I will be weak like other men. So he allowed her to tie him. And that's a strange thing. Why would she allow Samson? Why would he allow her to tie him? And we begin to wonder if perhaps the vow regarding a drink that was involved in this matter. As you go on reading this, you begin to think that his vow regarding a drink was going. Or do we vow, do we promise to God to do something? We must be careful regarding promises to God. Young Christians can rush into that, promising the Lord to be this and to be that. As we get older, we are more cautious, and we tend to say, if thou wilt give me strength, if thou wilt give me grace, I desire to be this and I desire to be that. But we don't rush headlong into things, perhaps, as we did as young Christians. But anyway, she bound him. And the liars in wait, the Philistines, were there somewhere in the premises. And she called out the Philistines upon thee, Samson. And they rose up. And the withes were as tow, threads of tow touching the fire. In the margin it says melting when they touch the fire, as if he never felt them at all. But you've no indication that he seems to suspect what she's doing. Surely he should have been suspicious when she tied him like that. And when she called out that the Philistines were on him. But there's no indication of that. Maybe that he just no fear of what men would do. Then the second test, she kept at him. I said, two new ropes. Ropes made of leather. Two new ropes, not fiber now. And these were put on him. The result was the same. And she wept. And she told him that he had told her lies. How easily she was manipulating him. The fearful weakness, the fearful moral weakness, which touched his very understanding. Then as she kept on, he forgot about how his wife had treated him and done the same thing. Now he said to her, if my hair be tied to the loom, to the web on the loom and the bar of the loom, the seven strands, and she took the seven strands and she tied them to the loom, and many of us know what looms are. And they could be very heavy things. But when she called out the Philistines on thee, he rose up, and the loom broke, and the bar of the loom came with his hair, and the web came with his hair. No. She accused him of telling her lies, and she wept. Ah, woman's tears. They're precious things. They're precious things, a woman's tears. When they're in the proper place. But they can be used in a wrong way. And then at last he was so weary of it all, that he told her all his heart that he was a Nazarite from the womb. And if his hair was cut, that he would be just like any other man. That was the dedication. She wanted to know where his great strength lay. Now here is a puzzle. Where does the great strength of the child of God lie? Where does it lie? Well, it lies in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit imparting grace. And the Holy Spirit giving us eternal life. And the Holy Spirit coming with the things of Christ and showing them to our souls. And a preacher can get up in the pulpit and can speak to people about where the power lies. But the man without Christ will never understand it as coming from the mouth of a preacher. And that is what the preacher feels. He feels so inadequate. You cannot convert a person. It needs the Holy Spirit to bless what you're saying. It needs the Holy Spirit to bring the person alive. That's where the the great power really lies. All he could indicate to her was where his dedication lay. The hair and the vine. So she persuaded him to put his to sleep with his head on her knees. And so we cannot but conclude that he was drinking wine, that he was drunk. She called upon a man to come in to shave his head. Would Samson have allowed anyone to shave his head? We wot not. Unless he was inebriated, unless he was drunk, breaking his vow already. Then his head was shaven. She had betrayed him. All friends, to love the Lord Jesus is to have a love in which there is no possibility of betrayal. A love that is so faithful to our souls. A love that will do all things for us. Did he not give himself for his own people? Did he not prove his love in giving himself to the accursed death? Yes, he proved his love. But you see how this man was taken in by a false love. It was not love, it was lust. And today, in the society in which we live, lust is called love. A person lusts after another person, and they come together, they might marry on that basis, but that's not how to marry. You've got to know the inner person, the character, the real person. The outward is not the thing. You've got to, your wife has to be your best friend. Not just an ornament, a beautiful ornament. No, lust and love are not the same thing. Samson never seemed to know love at all. He knew what lust was. He came in. He shaved his head. And she called the Philistines upon thee, Samson. And he arose. And he wist not, he did not know, that the Holy Spirit had left him. What a pitiful creature, rising, and now just like other men. Just like other men. And he did not know it. And the Lord can bring his people down like that when they presume. And that is in us too, to be presumptuous regarding the grace of God, to become worldly and to indulge in things in which we should not indulge. And the Lord giving us over to our sin and backsliding for a measure. The Apostle Paul speaks of those who had sinned, who were professing the Lord, speaks of them being given over to Satan for a season. That is, they professed the Lord, but they were disciplined. And they were, by being disciplined, they were put out of the visible church of Christ. They were put into the world, as it were, where the devil rules. Given over to the devil for a season. Let them be in the world and see what the world is like, and the Holy Spirit will now teach them. Chastise them and teach them. Then to come back again with contrition, with brokenness, with realization of a total weakness. Oh, the fool that I was. The fool that I was. Like a Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress when he sat down on a seat and slept and took out his roll with all the promises and blessings of God in it. But he slept and the roll dropped from his hand. Then he got up when he woke up, and he shouldn't have slept at all, and he began walking forward. But then later on he realized he had no roll, no roll, no promises, as if the promises had stopped speaking to him, as if the blessings were no longer his. And he had to retrace his steps. Did you ever retrace your steps? Did you ever painfully go back upon the steps that the Lord had taken in your life? Some can go back to the time when the Lord first seemed to deal with them, at least when they were conscious of that. And some can do that, and some go there often. It's good to go there often to think of how the Lord has dealt with me, to go over it all time and time again. You see, people speak to the question and they're asked to give marks of grace. And some give marks of grace of those who have gone from death unto life. But there are some, you see, who go beyond that, who can give marks regarding how the Lord has kept them during their time in the wilderness. Marks that are upon those who have been kept year after year. 20 years, 40 years, 60 years being kept by the Lord. When Samson was taken and his eyes were put out, and they put fetters of brass on. And now he had to do service to the enemy. Serving the enemy. All these things make us wonder. I've known a man who came out among God's people, was among them as a child of God, as far as they could see. Then after a while he went back and he began going to the bohans, to the shebeens, the drinking dens that they had in Lewis. And there he would run down God's people. And the young lads in the bohan, who all had some kind of background, despised him. The very world despised him. Then he came back out of the bohan and began going with God's people. But he never got over it. He never got over it in the estimation of God's people and in the estimation of the world. I've known another man, and he was a good man. He used to drink before he was converted, and he was now getting old, and at the new year some young lads went to his house and knew his weakness, but he had kept away from it all these years. And they made him drunk, and they brought him to the door of the manse, rang the bell and ran away. That man lost his profession for many years. He was like that. He never stopped attending the prayer meeting. He came back after many years to the session again, but he could not finish a prayer in public. He would break down. He never got over the shame of it all. Never got over it as long as he lived. My dear friends, Christ is so precious. Christ is so precious. His name is so precious. If we know him, let us seek to adorn our profession. We are weak and sinful creatures. While Samson had to serve the enemy, they made him grind in the prison house. He ground for the enemy. He had no eyes. And they had these huge grindstones with wooden bars attached to them that animals could be tied to, or human beings could be tied to. And they went round and round in a circle, all day walking in a circle, grinding, making meal for the Philistines. Oh, to be making meal for the Philistines. To be serving the enemies of God, backsliding and falling into that. What a fearful condition to be. No reputation. Merely scorned. Merely scorned. And then they brought him one day to the house of Dagon, their huge temple. And they were worshipping Dagon that day. And it was a great day of sacrifice for Dagon. And the place had 3,000 people there, the lords of the Philistines, and perhaps Delilah, we don't know. And they began praising their gods who had delivered Samson into their hands. You see, this is the thing. When the world begins to praise its own gods against the God of the Christian who has fallen, yes, they say, here's a man who tried Christianity. And it was nothing. It failed. He's come back into the world. Some of those who had an emotional conversion didn't touch their will at all. They thought it did. It was only like the hoar frost that disappeared when the sun shone. Emotions disturbed. And you get a type of preaching that sets out to do that, to aim at the emotion. People weep. The human spirit of a minister can make others weep. The actor on the stage can make the onlookers weep. It's a human thing, not a divine thing, if that's all you have. So they praised their own gods, and they would run down the God of Samson, delivered into our hands, the enemy of our gods. And they said, bring Samson out to make a sport. And they brought him out of the prison into the house of Dagon, and they made sport with him. They made him a fool. They made him a great fool. They played with him. They toyed with him. They laughed at him. He was nothing but a weak thing. That was Samson. Samson. How the name of God went down at that time. How the glory of God was diminished in their eyes. And then you see, there is the death of Samson. Once in Christ, always in Christ. We might sin, we might backslide, but he will bring us back. He will not cast us on and off. There are some people who think, if I come to Christ, then I can live as I desire. Doesn't matter what I do. But these people who think in that way are not converted. Samson had faith. Difficult at times for us to see that. But he must have had prayer in his life. He must have had some kind of fellowship at times in his life. But now we see his death. And it says here that the hair of his head began to grow again. He would notice that, blind as he was. He had hands. He would be conscious of the fact that his hair was growing. He would be conscious of the fact that he was no longer taking wine in the prison house. And in his spirit, he would be able to rationalize these things. The Lord had not cast him off. The Lord would not gracious be no more. No, that's not how he works. From me, says the Lord, to the backslider is thy fruit found. I am like a green fir tree. I don't change. I'm green all the year round. Our fruit is from the Lord, not from ourselves. And the backslider can't get fruit from the Lord. Not the one who has no grace at all. There's no fruit there. The hair of his head began to grow again. Conscious of it. Feeling it with his hand. Feeling the hair coming over the head, the face. God had not left him. They made sport of him. And they left him in the hands of a boy. A young lad. He's weak. He has no strength. He's only a fool who made sport of him. A young lad can look after him. You see, they did not know where his strength lay. They did not know. Yes. The secret of the Lord is with them. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. The secret of the Lord, and only with them. And until you come among them that fear him, you will never know the secret of the Lord. And the secret of the Lord was never reached by Delilah, nor by any of the Philistines. But it was there. And we see him praying. The Lord was in all that. The Lord was in all that. And we see the prayer that he had. O Lord God, he says, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. I forgot thyself. But remember me. Is it not good that the Lord does remember his own people when they fall and slide? Remember me. I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And people might say, well, the flesh has come in there, mere human hatred has come in there. We are not too sure about that. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and in which it was borne up, with the one with his right hand, the other with his left. And he said, let me die with the Philistines. He prayed to the Lord. And then for the last time, the Holy Spirit of God came down upon him. For the last time. For the last time. How foolish people can be. The disciples had been sent out. They were given power over devils. And they were told to preach the gospel. But when they came back, the rejoicing was not that they preached the gospel and that people received the gospel, but the rejoicing was that the devils were subject to them, that he could cast them out. And Christ said, rejoice not, because the devils are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Judas could rejoice with the rest. But the secret of the Lord was not with him. His name was not in heaven. He could be a Samson like the rest of them, the Holy Spirit helping him. But that wasn't a work of saving grace in his own heart. But this man had saving grace. And the Holy Spirit was with him. And he brought down the house, the pillars would seem to be somewhere, not at the end, but perhaps somewhere in the center. And he asked the young lad to help him, to guide him, that he might put his hands on the two pillars, as if he were tired after the sport. And he brought down the house and died with the Philistines, more destroyed in his death, and were destroyed in his life. And he judged for 20 years. When you and I die, what will die with us when we die? Well, what the child of God desires is that the nature of sin that is within him, corruption, that has plagued him constantly, that that nature will die, that the Lord will take it as Samson took the lion and tear it like a kid, will destroy it. And what came out of the lion? Honey came out of the lion. Oh, that when you die, how will you die? Will you die filled with the Holy Spirit? Made totally sanctified, totally holy. A soul going into heaven resembling the soul of Christ. Filled with the Holy Spirit. A dying that is not a dying. For Christ said that if they believed in him, they would never see death. No spiritual or eternal death. Just separation of body and soul. But no death. No death. Is that how you and I will die? May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious one, bless thy goodness to us. Give us to be thankful for the mercy and grace of God. Grant thou to be our experience as a Saviour and God. Grant to be with us in the evening exercise of worship. Be with thy servant. Be with us all. glorify thy great name. All for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalm 51, the last four stanzas. Psalm 51, verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it thee. Nor wilt thou with burnt offering at all delighted be. A broken spirit is to God a pleasing sacrifice, a broken and a contrite heart, Lord, thou wilt not despise. Show kindness and do good, O Lord, to Zion thine own hill. The walls of thy Jerusalem build up of thy good will. Then righteous offerings shall thee please, and offerings burnt, which they, with whole burnt offerings and with calves, shall on thine altar lay. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it thee.